Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Steve and Joanne on the East Coast. Welcome, Steve and Joanne.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Michael.
How are you?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Great. Great. The last time we talked was back in June, and you were on the West Coast.
There's been a lot of miles covered since then.
Yes, yes, cycling across the country, raising awareness for the Africa Project. Tell us all about it.
Well, I'm a little disappointed that maybe we haven't been as effective in raising awareness for the Africa Vulnerable Children Project as I thought we might. But, you know, it's not over, and we can still work on that a little bit.
Great. And what have some of the highlights been?
Of the trip?
Yes.
Well, you know, a lot of it seems like a big blur. One exciting thing for us was to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio. I didn't think I was going to enjoy it that much, but I was really surprised because it was kind of like a historical review of my life. Music.
Great. And you were doing the driving, right? And Steve was doing a lot of cycling.
Exactly. And I think that's probably more driving than I've done in my entire life.
Wow.
Seems like it now.
Wow. And Steve, what did you see from the road up close and personal?
Well, I have to say, riding a bicycle across the country is probably, I don't know if it's the best, but it's a great way to see the country. And for awareness practice, it brings up a lot of stuff.
Great. Tell us about that.
Oh, you know, you'd be riding your bike, go through this beautiful country, waterfalls, mountains, what have you. Then all of a sudden you'll notice that you're in conversation with conditioned mind off somewhere not even close to where you are. It's really amazing how it wants to take you away from the experience.
Yes, yes. So there you are in these amazingly beautiful places, and then you notice conditioned mind taking you off somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, it's incredible. It's a great way to watch mind, watch the thoughts come and go while you're riding the bicycle.
Yes, yes. And I project, since you're riding the bicycle, you really have to be present to what you're doing.
Yeah, for sure you do. You got to ride defensive. But most of the route we took were back roads, so there wasn't a lot of traffic. And it was really a great ride. For a while there, about halfway through, we got a report for the African Vulnerable Children Project, how much money had come in. It wasn't anything that my expectations had, and so I kind of conditioned my mind to come in and told me to stop writing.
Wow. Wow. So you got a report about how much money had come in, and then conditioned mind took that information and told you to stop writing.
Yeah. And self-hate came in and wanted to say I wasn't doing it right, and you weren't, this that you're doing is not, it's for nothing, and blah, 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 and it's really crazy. I wanted to sabotage the trip.
Yeah, it just wants to sabotage everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, if you have it and you're not paying attention, it definitely does.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can say for myself, it's been really exciting following you along and reading the blog, and I myself am inspired by what you're doing.
Oh, thank you very much. And it's been a great journey for awareness practice and for personal growth.
Great. That's wonderful. And I'm curious to know about how Trixie is doing also.
Trixie's a little disappointed that she hasn't been able to ride as much as she did in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
But Steve was having to do a lot of climbing, and it's not really good for him to have her on the bike when he's having to climb.
Uh-huh.
He had to go up some pretty steep grades the last several days of the ride into Bar Harbor.
Right.
But she's really a pretty good camper. You know, she just goes with the flow. She never complains, and she's playful, and it's great to have her on the trip with us. I wouldn't have. I'm glad we didn't choose to leave her behind.
Yes, yes, me too. She makes for a great name for your team, also.
Yeah, that too. and a cute logo.
Yes, yes. So tell us, are you complete now? It seems like you're on the East Coast.
Yes, we're complete now with the ride, and we're heading. We're in. Where are we? Clarksburg, West Virginia, and we're heading back, anticipating being in California somewhere before October 10th.
Great, great. That's really exciting. And yeah. I was just thinking as I was talking to you of the many wonderful adventures and expeditions that people have done as part of their fundraising and awareness raising for Living Compassion and the Africa Project, and this will be another one.
Yes. And also, we were kind of hoping to make it back for their bushwalk, but that would just be pushing too hard to do that. But we'll be there. We'll be walking across the country in our vehicle while you're walking the bridge.
Great. Great. Yes, we will keep you in mind, and you keep us in mind. On Saturday, October 2nd.
October 2nd, right.
Yes, yes, coming up.
It's coming up right around the corner.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Great. Any other awarenesses or insights you'd like to share? I know you were gone about 3 months on this big adventure.
For awareness practice itself, it's amazing how you're, because there was four of us riding in on this trip. And it's amazing how stuff will come up even with your best friends, you know, with your spouse and your friends. And stories pop up and want to sabotage that too. It's really incredible.
Yeah.
And we had talked about those possibilities, and we all believed that we had enough tools to work with. But when the situations would arise and it was time to pull out the tools, for some reason, none of us seemed to be able to be the ones to do it. We all held back. And then I got to look at whether or not I was going to let conditioning beat me up about not using my tools. So, I mean, it was nice because there would be times of awareness where I would see what was happening and seeing that I didn't see was one of the things I saw.
Yes. 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 So to me, that's really fascinating to see that we have these tools and that there are times that we use them and that there are times that we don't.
Yes.
And
sometimes, you know, we just don't see, period.
Yes. Yes. And to me, it's really powerful that you had the willingness to take on this whole challenge in the first place, knowing that you were going to run into these challenges.
Yeah, I think it was a really ambitious undertaking. And as things kind of fell apart in Niagara when we split up, I realized that I had to give myself credit for undertaking this in the first place and being willing to take on that risk and challenge. And I don't think I could have done that if I hadn't had some sort of awareness practice.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, I mean, to me, it's just so wonderful when we have that willingness to push out into areas that are really outside of our comfort zone and we're not sure how they're going to turn out.
And on this trip, every day is pretty much that way. It's, we don't know from the beginning of the day to the end of the day what's coming up. Not that we ever do, but it's really apparent when we're living on the road like this that everything is open and up for change.
Yes, yes. And really sounds like requiring you to be present and to show up because you're in a place that you don't know, you've never been to before.
Mm-hmm. And to be more flexible than I probably am in my everyday life.
Yes, yes, yes. That is so exciting. Steve, Joanne, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Michael. It was nice to be on.
And congratulations on your big adventure.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm very good.
Great. You could say great?
I could say great.
All right. Well, let's say great then.
Let's say great.
Yeah. That was really good listening to Steve and Joanne.
Yeah.
It's a very courageous thing that they have done on so many levels.
Yes.
I think we can all be inspired. I mean, the physical aspect of it is beyond inspirational to me. You know, I just thought about riding a bicycle across the Rockies and thought, yeah, that's a long ways to push a bicycle. Then all of the challenges, the personal and interpersonal challenges, but also the courage to simply decide, this is something that I want to do, this is something I've always wanted to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it while I can do it, while it's a possibility for me, instead of going the route that conditioning wants us to go, which is postpone everything for a better time, somewhere in the future that's never going to happen, and then live in regret when it becomes obvious that, in fact, it never did happen. So I just think they're heroic, you know, on all those levels, but especially on the kind of Joseph Campbell pursuing your bliss level. And I hope we would all do that.
Yes, yes. It was fun to talk to them and hear all about it.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, I have some announcements here.
All right.
There is still time to sign up for the Bridge Walk. Now, the shirts have already been ordered, but folks can still join us for the walk and for the fun and all of that.
I bet they could still even get some lunch if they hopped on it.
Could be. Could
yeah,
be.
Yeah, and certainly if they get there, we'll get to see Awareness Junkie Man make his way across the bridge, because I understand that's happening.
Yes. In full uniform, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be missed.
Right.
And, Sherry, I have a long list of places that you will be.
Wow.
The Integral Yoga Institute in New York, that's on October 16th. A retreat in Connecticut called What You Practice is What You Have, October 17th to 20th. At the Open Secret Bookstore in San Rafael on October 29th. Workshop in San Diego on November 6th, at the Center for Spiritual Enlightenment in San Jose on November 13th, East West Bookstore in Mountain View on November 18th, Mountain View Workshop on December 11th, and the New Year's Retreat, December 27th to January 2nd.
Lots of good practice coming up for me.
Lots of practice opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And we have callers.
Good, good. Let's talk to them. Thank you, Michael.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sandy from Florida.
Hey, Sandy. How you doing?
Well, I've been waiting and waiting and trying to get up the courage to call, and I guess I got it. And boy, was I surprised I was number one.
no prep time whatsoever, except that all that effort to get on the call, right?
Exactly.
Well, here we are. So what's going on?
I am. Well, what's going on has been going on most of my adult life, and I am really struggling with food. I have been overweight for 30-some years now, and I lose it, I gain it back, I lose it, I gain it back. And I've just come across something that I think is pretty amazing, and it's a program by Janine Roth.
Yes.
And she actually talks about you. And so I said to myself, go ahead.
I like to talk about her, too. In fact, when you said that, that her name was what arose in my mind. So
was it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
does really, really, really good work.
Well, Sherry, I think I've done it all. You know, I've done every kind of diet you can imagine. I've done it, and many of them, I mean, I was able to hold on for quite some time, but at all of the time when I lost the weight and managed to keep it off, it was hanging on by my fingernails.
Right, right.
And yep. It was I was on a tightrope walking along a cliff and about to fall at any second, and eventually I did fall. And in reading Janine's book, and then I've enrolled in her online class, because you can't get into her retreats, you know. She's very popular.
Hers is a very popular issue.
It's,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
she's the first person who ever made me feel like she understood what my problem is, you know.
Yeah. Well, and I hope to God you know you're not alone. I mean,
this
is the biggest, aside from depression, this is the biggest issue in this country.
But
especially for women.
I did feel like I was alone, though.
Yeah, well.
I mean, I can walk down the street and see all the other women who are as overweight, more overweight, and you don't even need to be overweight to feel what I feel. I felt this even when I was slimmer.
Yeah.
I felt it, and it's a longing, and I try to fill it with food, and so I'm really, really working hard on that, and I think that because you've been there and come into my life, and I've been able to practice with you and read your books and go to your retreats, I think I'm ready to hear what Janine has to say. And I'm so excited, and I'm terrified all at the same time.
Yes, well, your heart is excited. Ego is terrified.
Oh, thank you. That makes so much sense to me.
Because this issue, you know, any time, whatever a specific issue like this is for any one of us, egocentric karmic conditioning, of course, is just using that as completely as it can to keep us in control, under its control.
Okay, so the fear that I'm feeling is trying
to
warn me off from doing
that,
which...
Okay. That's right. Fear is always egocentric karmic conditioning.
Always, okay.
Always, yeah. Now, that's not the same as a shot of adrenaline racing through your body, okay? but that's not what people are talking about when people are talking about fear.
No.
So, oh, my God, something awful is going to happen. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. That's always ego, and it's always designed to control the human. So, yes, who you actually are is really excited about the possibility of freedom.
And that's what I feel it is. I feel like if I can practice that which Janine is putting out there, then I will be closer to being free than I've ever been before.
Yes, well, and of course, what she's putting out there is simply what works. What she's doing is applying how life works to an issue that a lot of people struggle with, and she does it in such a clear, kind, compassionate way that people can really relate to it. And it's a marvelous thing that she's doing. But it's, you know, it's just simply how life works.
Well, and I think you said it all. I'm so open to it right now because
yes.
She talks the way you talk. I'm ready to hear her. And
yes.
She talks about practice. And she
yes.
tells me that I can't do it wrong, that I can only
yes.
practice. And
that's
I'm
right.
I'm just so excited because that certainly is not any other diet mentality.
No.
You either
no.
do it right or you do it wrong. And
that's
you
right.
either succeed or you fail.
That's right. And hers is not a diet approach.
Not at all.
Yeah, hers is a freedom approach. So a person... wow, is that me or is that everybody? Did everybody go underwater?
I think that's Sandy.
Are you hearing that, Michael?
Yeah, I still am hearing it.
Oh, okay.
Let me just move Sandy for a second. Sandy, are you there? Okay, Sherry, I've muted Sandy.
Okay.
Shall we try to bring her back and see how it is?
Yeah, and then see if maybe she'll call back in if we can't get her.
Okay, let me try unmuting her here.
Oh, call Jennifer and ask her if she knows what happened.
Oh.
If I left her, the radio show went down.
Sandy? Sandy?
I thought it was this phone, but I'm getting the same thing on all three phones.
Sandy, you got a lot of static on your line. If you can hear us, Sandy.
Okay, Michael, let's give up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Should we move on to the next caller?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Maybe she'll get us back.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Valerie, and Dr. number two, too.
Hi, Valerie.
Hi. I had an experience of that book about Zen with the fly. You're turning the page, and then all of a sudden there's the fly. It's only a picture of it. It might
uh-huh.
be Zen Flesh, Zen Bones, I think. That was a pleasant surprise. I mean, I got to kind of see that sort of reaction, you know, that was just sort of out of my control. And I had an experience while I was pouring myself a bowl of Cheerios, the same story was droning away in my brain. I was sort of looking up and looking down, hearing the same old story that was grinding away. And then I don't know if it's an accumulation of the practice everywhere tweets or something, but something in my mind or whatever accumulation of practice. And all of a sudden I was like, this isn't worth it. This conversation is over.
Good for
and,
you.
Yeah, and I felt the same way looking down at my bowl of Cheerios that I felt looking at or having that reaction to the fly. It felt like Cheerios in high definition, like wow, I'm eating Cheerios, you know, like it made me feel I can feel them crunching in my mouth and they look like, you know how on the front of a cereal box it says enlarged to show texture? It was like the Cheerios, I was looking at their texture and looking at the milk and tasting the Cheerios, and all of a sudden I was like, wow, I'm eating Cheerios, and I'm not listening to the voice for this tiny amount of time, and life feels vivid and good. And after that, it turned into the, well, you should call into the talk show, open air, and talk to Sherry about it, and you're going to say it in this way, and it's going to be a big deal, and blah, blah, blah. No, don't call into the talk show. This really doesn't matter. I mean,
Cheerios.
Don't compare it to something that references Zen. Don't do that. Don't do that. So then it turned into, but I had an HD experience of life, and I can have an HD experience of life right now. So from that conversation, it turned into more HD experiences of I am alive and I can look around me and feel high definition, you know?
Yes. Yes, I do know. So sometimes people will say to me, well, actually fairly often people will say to me, you know, I get into the present and there's nothing going on. Or I get into the present and there's just suffering. It's boring, or I don't like it. And I would say to them, that's because you're not present. And your description of being with your Cheerios is such a perfect example of how not present a person has to be to say, I get present and it's boring. There's nothing boring about it, is there?
It's also really scary because...
No, it's not.
I mean, the conversation is really scary. I mean,
the conversation
it takes over my
is
mind.
Scary. Yeah, this conversation is scary.
Mind.
Yes, but the high definition experience of life is not scary to anything except egocentric karmic conditioning.
I think
right?
that the HD experience is wonderful, and
yes.
I don't expect it to be high definition. High quality camera all the time.
Right.
I mean, sometimes I'm down with my VHS recorder and popping it into a VCR, and it's grainy and it's out of focus. But it's still.
But you know,
conversation.
Well, you and the thing about it is that you know what is possible. So when you're listening to the voices and they're telling you what life is and what's really so and who you are and what it means, you know that it's not true. Even if you get caught up temporarily in buying into it or believing it, going along with it, very quickly you get to a place of, but that's not true. That's egocentric karmic conditioning. That's what's projecting that. I know a different experience. I've had a different experience of life. I'm not having it right now, but I know that it exists, and I know what is real.
Yeah, I mean,
mm-hmm.
Not the peace quotes and not where I would expect it, I was searching on the internet, and then Carl Rogers quote came up about acceptance. I think his name is Carl Rogers. And it
very
took
probably.
Me aback. And it was about you can't change anything or even think about changing anything until you've accepted it. And I don't know, it's just I'm having these experiences outside of I'm doing practice right now. And you know,
well, here's the thing about that, because what you started out saying is at least my experience. So do you remember you said you didn't know if it was a cumulative thing of, you know, all of this practice coming at you? But if you notice you're going along in life and you're washing the dishes or you're raking leaves or you're driving down the road or whatever it is, and you are not at all focused on practice,
yeah.
And suddenly everything just opens up and this huge insight drops in, and there you are. But the thing that is my experience anyway of this is that without that practice, the odds are very good that that experience would, one, not happen, because there would be no room for it to come through, because all of the space is being taken up with a self-hating conversation, or two, you wouldn't have noticed it because you would have been so distracted by again, usually those same voices, that you would just miss it. So the practice is what enables you to have that clear space around you that the insight can get through and enables you to be present enough that you recognize it for what it is when it arrives. But it's not my experience that much happens to us when we are doing what the voices would tell us is practice. So you're sitting on the cushion, and, you know, most folks could sit there a long time before anything terribly remarkable happened, other than, boy, my leg hurts. But when you're training yourself to be present in that way, to focus your attention, to be where you are, to recognize the spaces in between all of that conversation, that's what pays off for you when you're just out walking around and there's an open space and boom, it drops in for you.
Yeah, I think there's a real hijacking of I want to move this way toward
yes,
all practice, but then there's like a brake on, like the safety brake is on somewhere else, you know, like
yes.
Why does there have to be so much tension in my body? Why do I have to feel like I'm not moving at all, you know?
Yes, yes.
And
that's
projecting.
Well,
yep.
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, it's just that people get caught up believing that if they're not having a particular experience, they're not paying attention or they're not
yeah.
aware. But, of course, if a person is sitting there watching the conversation about my leg this or why is there so much tension in my body or there I am off looking at next week's calendar in my mind or reviewing the all of that is paying attention in the present. It doesn't matter what the content is. It's the paying attention to it that we're practicing.
And it's accepting that feels this way or somebody does.
Yeah. It's aware of it and not being somebody who is holding an idea that there is another experience that should be had. Just practicing attention and awareness. Attention and awareness. Watching, noticing, here, noticing. Yeah. It's much simpler than the voices would have a person believe. It's the most simple, most completely relaxing thing in the world, simply to be here. All right, my dear, I'm happy for you and your Cheerios. I'm happy for the high-definition experiences. Don't get attached, okay?
Don't get attached to those things as
yep.
some idea.
Yep. It's just, that's what happened. What now?
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Valerie. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I have another caller from Florida here.
Oh, great.
Great. Let's see if we have Sandy back. Next caller from Florida, you are now live on the air.
You do have Sandy back.
Oh, great.
You went underwater.
I know. Now can conditioning be in charge of my phone?
Well, I don't like to get superstitious, but stuff does happen.
Wow, it was pretty bizarre. I finally got up the courage to talk to you about this, and then my phone went insane. But anyway, I want to get right back to being able to relate, and I just have to keep saying thank you to you, because I feel like if I had walked into Janine's presence, as I feel that I have now, that I wouldn't have been ready. I feel ready now, and I'm so grateful and so thankful and so incredibly thankful that, you know, her practice is so similar to your practice in that, in my assignment this week was number one, to be a astonished by something every day, and number two, to be aware of what I'm eating and when I'm eating it.
Yes, just noticing, just being
yes.
aware, not
yeah.
fixing, not changing, not deciding, not knowing, just noticing.
Yes.
Yeah, it's awareness practice.
It's wonderful. I'm so grateful
yeah.
somebody
you know,
finally
the,
understands.
Well, yes, and the point that you make that I just want to underline for all of us is that when we are paying attention, we realize that every moment of life is exactly perfect for us. So it wouldn't have happened for you in the wrong order.
Good point.
You see?
Yes.
Yeah.
I
so
do.
We do what we do, we get what we get, we're ready for the next thing. We do that, we get that, we're ready for the next thing. It's a constant awareness building process that we are participating in. Again, it's just the voices that want to make a problem out of this or compare this to that or make us feel that we're doing something wrong or we're going too slow or that was a mistake. There's only life, and it's unfolding perfectly moment by moment by moment by moment. And what it's unfolding, of course, is us.
Yeah. And that I have a choice. I have choices in what the me can be.
Yes. Well, and of course, from my perspective, most of our choice is simply to be aware. You know, if we get into deciding about content or you know, this and that, then we turn it over to conditioned mind. But what we can choose is just to show up the best we can, be as present as possible, as accepting as we know how to be, and trust that as we have and as we cultivate that attitude of mind, life is going to provide us with everything that we need. And, you know, it's a funny thing. I've said for years, I don't know whether I'm the world's most fortunate person or I have really low standards. And that's just a kind of a little joke about for myself that perhaps something more could be happening. Perhaps my life, you know, from somebody else's perspective, isn't a miracle. But I see it that way, and therefore it is. So
now, that's really interesting that you brought that up, because I've been dealing with, when I walk down the street and I weigh 230 pounds, I feel judged by everyone around me that I should weigh 130 pounds, and therefore everyone has to be looking at me and saying, oh, that poor woman has problems, otherwise she wouldn't weigh that much.
Yes. Well, and of course, that's such a perfect example of projection, isn't it?
Yes.
Because that's what conditioning is saying to you, and therefore that's the reality that you are living in. So it would seem like everyone else is saying and thinking the same way.
It absolutely does.
Yeah. As your relationship with conditioning changes, then you'll hear it saying what it's saying. And I project, and you can let me know at some point if this is true, that what your awareness will be that people around you are dealing with their version of what you're dealing with. So they too are probably, you know, to whatever degree, living within a conditioned reality. They're listening to conditioning in their head. They're believing what the voices are saying. The voices are framing the reality that they're inhabiting. We hope that they're in the process of becoming more aware that that's going on, that they're waking up to what you see. So you'll see it more as process than content.
Process very big word for me.
Yeah.
It's a very big word for everybody.
It is. I had to
All right,
that
well, you, you let us know, would you? Keep us
Thank
posted
you.
About how this goes for you and what you, what you're seeing and how your practice is evolving with this particular piece of content called food, diet, weight, whatever.
Right.
And also, of course, what I'm going to be most interested in is how you're seeing that inform all of the process of your life.
Thank you. Okay. I'll be back.
All right. Excellent. Thanks, Sandy.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Sandy. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we will be right back.
All right.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Jonathan from England.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. And yourself?
I'm good, yeah.
Good. What's going on?
Well,
what's
I've
going
been
on
so
in
much...
the world of practice, huh?
What's going on in practice? Well, I've been doing so much of it, I don't know which sort of bit to pick to talk about, really. One thing that I know, I thought this might be a good one because it confuses me, so... I've uncovered like four major stories that kind of the big influences on my behavior.
Uh-huh.
And they sort of like shift from one to the other. And it's like four sort of camps in like human thought. Like one is all the story about evolution and kind of Richard Dawkins and Darwin's theory. Like there's no God, there's no religion, rational life. So that's one story I'm constantly being told is true. And then another one, it's like the Christian religion is the right one. And then there's another story, which is the ego and trying to fulfill ego standards for me. And then the last one is this practice is the right way to go. And the thinking just cycles round each of these four kind of camps.
And so are you aware of what all of those have in common?
Well, I'm much more aware of how they contradict.
That's why it confuses you.
So what do they all have in common?
They all seem to be stories, and you can't work out which one's true and whether
That's
they
right.
have any kind of real...
They all are thinking. They are all conditioned mind noodling content.
Okay.
Yeah. And so for me, what I get to with something like that is a great big so what? I mean, how would spending your life noodling content in conditioned mind avail you of anything worthwhile?
Well, I don't know how it would have. I think the reason why I brought it up, I can see what it is, but it's because I think I'm in between the two worlds, like thinking about my behavior and what my life is about, and trying to find what you call the heart, you know, and the mentor,
mm-hmm.
and not being able to access those two areas with, you know, very easily.
Okay. And so what I hear you suggesting is that those two realities you recognize. One is what I call noodling content and conditioned mind, and the other is being with your heart or your mentor. So those are the
yeah.
two places you can occupy.
Yeah.
Okay. Which one seems most beneficial to you?
Well, when I can get to it, the heart, and it seems like when
I didn't ask you about when you can get to it. I just said which one seems the most beneficial to you.
Well, I'm saying the heart, but my heart's not in it.
So the answer to that question is the heart. Yeah. We can see. You're watching it as I'm watching it, right? Conditioned mind just hates it when I back it into the corner and it's revealed for what it is. Okay, so the heart. And so let me ask you this. Do you suspect, as I do, that when you can't get to your heart, it's because you are with conditioned mind noodling content?
Yes, I think that's what's going on.
Yeah. So it gets kind of straightforward, doesn't it?
It is straightforward. I mean...
So, Jonathan, here's the deal.
It's,
okay.
That's the end. That's the end of the. Yeah, I understand. I understand.
Yeah. So this is what I think conditioned mind bamboozles people with most often, and that is the idea, the assumption, the implication that it should be easy. But of course, it's not easy. It is just about the most difficult thing a human being can take on, to
right.
drop egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hate and live in the present. It's incredibly difficult. There. So at one point a few years ago, I decided that I was going to bench press my body weight, which is an extremely difficult thing for a female person to do. I don't even know why I decided I wanted to do it at this point, but I did. And it was the most physically challenging thing I've ever done. I had to practice and practice and practice and practice and practice. Okay? And I did it. But the fact that I did it didn't mean it was any easier.
Oh, okay, I understand, yeah. Yeah.
So that's the kind of thing we're up against. You know, you're going to swim the English Channel. It's not going to be easy. But that doesn't change the fact that it's possible, that it's what you've decided you want to do, that you're going to devote yourself to that. You're going to get really tired. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to get disheartened. You're going to have voices questioning why you're trying to do this. But you know it's what you want to do. And so you just survive those periods and keep your attention focused where you want it to be.
Okay.
Yeah. And when the voices really get to you, you can call me and I'll give you this kind of fervorino.
A pep talk.
A pep talk, exactly. And that's, you know, that's what Sangha is. Sangha is a pep talk. The Buddha was the coach of all time, you know, with just constant reminders of who we are and what happened to us and what's possible for us and how to do it and what we need to attend to, how we need to live our lives, what we need to, what we're going to run into, how difficult it's going to be.
And how unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for being there.
Well, you're so very welcome.
Because I can go do all this work and then I can ask you, can't I? So that makes a big difference to me.
Oh,
that's great.
Yeah, it's huge. That's why we practice together.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Jonathan.
All right, I'll speak to you next time.
All right, good night.
Good night, good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jonathan. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Always fun to hear from people all over the world.
Uh-huh.
Sherry, we're going to hear from Sangha Market and a very helpful message, and then we'll be back.
All right.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Uh-huh.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. It's Anna here.
Hi.
Anna, how are you?
Hi. I just want to make sure that you can hear me okay, because I am having problems with my line at the moment. So
You're coming through loud and clear.
That's fantastic. Good. And first of all, I just want to say thank you to you and Michael for being there and for enabling, you know, me to ring up and talk to you. It's really fantastic. Thank you.
Well, you're most welcome. It's our pleasure.
And it was lovely to hear Jonathan as well. That was so nice. So it's nice. We're both awake at the same time, practicing and trying our hardest.
That's right. Up in the middle of the night together.
Yes. Yes.
Calling us. Yes. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So I'm ringing back to report on my I rang last time and I was talking to you about sort of my perceptions of my husband's anger,
yes.
And I've continued with that and I'm working really hard with that. What I've been doing is continuing the left hand right hand writing, and I've done that nearly every single day for over 3 months now, and it's been fantastic. It's really good. It's really helpful.
You've seen a lot.
Yeah. Sorry?
Good. You've seen a lot. You've seen a lot through doing
I've seen a lot, yes.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. And some days I've managed to do it 3 times a day, morning, noon, and then evening.
Wow. I project that... Yeah. The folks inside you feel very supported and cared about with that kind of attention.
Yeah, they do. And you were talking to an earlier caller about how you can just be going along and something just drops in, but that doesn't happen unless you've done the practice. And what links with what you just said about the folks feeling supported? I was driving, I do a journey quite a lot where it's windy country lanes, and there's usually always somebody right behind me, and I feel pressured by that person, and I think, the voices are saying, you're going too slow, you're a rubbish driver, you need to speed up a bit. So I will go faster than I actually feel comfortable with. And actually, this one actual road, it's considered to be one of the most dangerous roads in England for motorcyclist deaths. So I always do try to be careful, but if I've got someone behind me, I will go faster. And last week, I suddenly realised that I allow myself to be bullied. So there's bullying going on, and I will accommodate that. And I suddenly saw quite clearly, I've been sort of holding on to it since then, I saw that I don't want to go faster. And for me to feel comfortable, I need to keep going at the speed I'm going. And for a while, I was really able to say, no, I'll pull over and you can go over me, or a convenient point, the person behind me can take me over, whatever, but I am going at this speed. And I actually felt really confident, rather than, I think of all, before, it's sort of always sort of been pretending to be confident, whereas really inside I'm sort of still really scared. But for a while it was all really clear. And going back to my husband and his anger, I've been really pleased about that, actually, that whole thing has happened and that I've decided something needs to happen, because I can see in all of my life and all the different areas and people and situations where I perceive anger in whatever form, and I feel bullied by that and don't stand up for myself. And I can see that that's what I want to practice doing.
yes, and I love that. Because what you got to with the driving is, I'm going to be attentive. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be responsible. As soon as I find a place where I can pull over and let you go by, I'm going to do that. And in the meantime, I'm going to do what feels the safest, best thing that I can do right now. It might not meet somebody else's standards, but it's what I can do right now.
Yeah,
and so to take that same attitude of mind into your, in this case, your relationship with your husband, but I imagine it's going to become your relationship with everything in life. This is where I am now. This is what I'm practicing with. I'm going to be as kind and compassionate and generous and attentive as I can possibly be. I'm going to make all the room for you I can, and I'm not going to sacrifice myself in the process.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that is so good, isn't it? And I love it when we see something in one area, the awareness comes in one area, and then we see how we can apply it in these other areas. It's so helpful.
Yes, yes, because after I spoke to you the last time and you said to me, just don't rush, just go slow and take your time, and I decided that was a good idea because I'm trying to slow down as well. Anyway, generally speaking,
yeah,
I'm trying to see my life as it happens and not do all that rushing. So
Oh, no, go ahead and finish. I saw something else that I thought was particularly significant in that.
Oh, no, you go,
Shall I tell you? Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What I saw when you said that was what a scam it is on the part of egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hate, this constant pressure to go faster, faster than you can be aware of your life.
Yeah.
So we're constantly feeling just a little out of control, just a little off balance. And that, as you say, when we make a commitment to, I'm going to go the speed of my life so that I can be present to and aware of it, that's so powerful.
Yeah. So I've been practicing going slow, and when I've remembered, I've been practicing speaking slowly at really important moments for me. And when I've spoken really slowly and tried to stay really present, the communication I've been having, say, with my husband or with whoever, has been really good. And that other person has actually responded better to me than if I were going... and my voice is getting higher and higher, and so I actually haven't really had to do any confronting or anything like that. Everything's happening really naturally.
Yes.
So
it's
all good.
Yeah, and again, I think one of the pieces of that puzzle that you're pointing at that's not always available to us is how much of what happens for us and between people, how much of it happens at an intuitive level. So when we are interacting with someone who is hysterical, intuitively, we sense that this is not a good thing, that it's not, that the person isn't really there, isn't really conscious of what's going on. When a person is in that attitude of mind that you're pointing at, is going at the pace of life and paying close attention to the conversation, to themselves and what they're communicating, the other person intuitively calms. They just feel more comfortable and relaxed because they're in the presence of somebody who's actually there rather than hysterically off somewhere else. So it does, it does just immediately produce a better result.
I've been really enjoying, and I've been really enjoying that aspect of it.
Well, it's kind of a shame, to have this great gift called life and then to race through it because we're being prodded constantly by voices in our head and missing the whole thing. It's just really not the way to have a happy life.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
Yes. So I'm just going to carry on.
I think so.
And I'll get back in touch at another good point, and I'll tell you what I'm up to.
Good. I really appreciate it.
Great
to talk with you.
Yeah, and with you again, thank you and to Michael as well. It's really fantastic to be able to ring in.
Good. And quickly before you go, how's Poppy?
She's really well. I said to Poppy, because my husband is working away tonight, so it's really easy. We can, you know, have a party and make lots of noise. And I said, you know, we can ring Sherry Hoover tonight. Would you like to ring? Because I did ring last time. And she said, no, you do it. You know, she understands that, you know, I'm at an important point in my life.
Yes.
She's doing really, really, really well. She finished her two-year course, and
wow,
she got really, really high grades, contrary to what she thought she'd get. And she's got a place at university. She's taking a year out just to rest a little bit from all that academic work. She's really, really good, and I think she'll probably be ringing you soon.
Very good. Well, tell her hello for us.
She's
all
practicing
right.
really hard in her way as well. She does it all the time.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. All right. Well, take
okay,
good care,
you.
And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Yes, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye.
Good night.
Night-night.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I was just listening to an archive show today where Poppy called for the first time.
Oh, my goodness.
That was fun.
Yes, it is. It shows us how time is passing, doesn't it?
Yes.
Because I think I remember that child was like 13 the first time she called in.
Yes, and that was
uh-huh.
5 years ago.
Yeah, now she's in university. Wow, okay. Oh, dear.
Great. Sherry, we have a couple minutes, and we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Sri Devi from San Francisco.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. What's going on?
Well, I felt like I had so many things, and then, of course, I listened to the whole, you know, call, and then I feel completely okay, and I feel like I have nothing to talk about but just how much I'm enjoying life and loving this practice. So thought what I would do is actually share a fun story about the Practice Everywhere tweets.
Perfect. You know, we never tire of hearing from people how well they're doing and how much they love practice. So, excellent. Thank you.
Good. I was leaving on a trip about a little over 3 weeks ago to go out for a while where I had like no cell phone, no email, no nothing, and it was going to be great. I was going to be off the grid, and I was so excited. I went to a gas station, and I'm filling up my car with gas, and I run into the store, and I'm talking to the owner who I know, and I run outside, and I start getting ready to drive away, and I hear like this thud, and I'm like, oh my gosh, did I just run over somebody? And I drove away with the pump still in my car because I was just so overexcited I forgot to even take it out. And I'm sitting there going, oh, my gosh. And I could just feel conditioning come in, just ready to talk about you're about to leave and how stupid, just all of this conversation. So I just knew what it was going to do. And I just calmed down, and I just went, okay, what do I do next? And luckily, I knew the owner and figured it out. And even though I was going off the grid and didn't know what was going to happen, I called my dad. I told him about it and took care of it. And I'm in the car, and I'm driving. And just feeling all the energy and just conditioning wanting to beat me up, but I'm just not paying attention to it. And it's going and it's going. And just feeling at that moment like, okay, I'm fine and I'm breathing. And a tweet comes in right literally 5 minutes after that on my cell phone that says something like, please help me, O universe, to be open to receiving all that unfolds. And I just laughed out loud, smiled, and it was like, if that's not the beauty of life, I don't know what is.
Oh, that is so good.
Yeah.
That is so good. I have to tell you, too, one thing that I actually did that at one point, and you're the only other person I've ever talked to who's done it. So I feel encouraged.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. It's a truly bad moment, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm glad that tweet came through for you.
Yeah, and it was just, can I just say, it was such a wonderful, because I was doing the practice, and I wasn't going to get beat up, and I wasn't,
yeah.
Nobody was hurt, there wasn't, you know,
exactly.
Gasoline spewing everywhere, it was completely okay, and it was fine, but to just get that was such a lovely reinforcement of the practice that I was
yeah.
doing, and so I thought, if that's not an advertisement for Practice Everywhere, I don't know what is. isn't. So.
That's excellent. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
And was it a good trip? Did you?
Oh, it was fabulous. It was fabulous. Yeah.
All right. So there you go. Happy ending too.
Yep.
Thank you for letting us know.
Thank you. Thanks, Michael. Thanks, Sherry.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Sri Devi. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, you two were making me laugh there.
Well, you know, there are just so many of those moments where, you know, who knows what all of the factors are that take us to that sort of place where we actually have that opportunity to see how we're doing with compassion. You know?
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful thing when we get it that, no, there aren't moments for compassion and then moments when you do something that really conditioning does get to come in and beat you up over. No, there aren't any of those moments. And to have that kind of, saw a lot, skated right through, love myself, thanks a lot. It's a great moment in practice.
Great moment. Great moment. And this moment is a great moment. And we've had so many wonderful callers and wonderful listeners, and I'm grateful for your presence and technology's presence and all of it.
Everything that that works to bring Sangha together in this way. It's a great thing.
It's a great thing.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Talk to you next week.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.